Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that your Word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity right now to go into your Word and to understand your heart for us as a church. And I pray right now that you would give us the ability to worship you through this message. You give us the heart that wants to receive and hear and reflect and meditate. And I pray, Lord, so much respond to you and what you're calling us to do today together as a church, as a body, as a community, as a fellowship. So we commit this time to you, Lord. We need you so much. Speak to us. Move among us so powerfully wherever we find ourselves. We pray all of these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. It is good to be together right now in this way. This morning, we're going to jump right into our message, and we are continuing in our sermon series called Never Alone. And here's the tagline, rediscovering the necessity and power of life together. And so I want to remind us where we've been. We've seen the devotion and the example of the early church laid out in the book of Acts. We've seen their example and their devotion to the biblical fellowship that a shared common life together was what marked the early church. We've seen that they were partners in a common mission, and we've seen that they had all things in common. It was a beautiful, powerful picture of fellowship. We've also seen the Apostle Paul's brilliant analogy and illustration for the church as one body. We took some time to reflect on that last week, that the church is just like a human body, one body with many members. So is the church of Jesus Christ, one body. Jesus is the head, and many members make up this body. Powerful imagery, powerful illustration. And today we begin a journey to take us deeper into a number of passages of Scripture from this day for the next few weeks that will fill in for us what exactly this common life together needs to look like. What should this unified body of Christ really look like? What do the members of this unified body do? How do the members of this body, this fellowship, relate to one another? And what are the implications of such a common life together? Such important questions and so much for us, even beginning this morning. And so I want you to take your Bibles right away and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18, and the title of this morning's message is this, very simple, love one another. Love one another. This is one command that we're given in Scripture that will radically shape the way that we live and react and relate to one another as a church. And it is such a significant command. We find it in many places. We find it in 1 John chapter 3, 11 to 18. So look at it with me. 1 John chapter 3, 11 to 18 says this. It says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Verse 16, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Verse 17, "But if anyone has the world's goods and closes his heart against and sees his brother, in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Okay, rediscovering the necessity and power of life together. So much in this passage of scripture for us today, so much to mobilize us, so much to strengthen us. And so this is where we are going to start this morning. If you have a pen and paper with your Bible open, write this down. Rediscovering the necessity and power of life together. Write this down. We must never lose sight of love. We as a church community, as a gospel community, must never lose sight of love. Notice verse 11 again. John says, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. What's the message? That we should love one another. So I want to give you a bit of the context before we jump in. John is writing to Christians who have been harassed by false teachers, and he's writing in a time much like ours. A time that we are living in today, a time where there was an obsession with the new, new teachings, mystical ideas, and probably safe to say, a disregard for the old, the historical, the original. And so John's writing to Christians that he loves so much. We see that that's so evident throughout this letter. And his exhortation to them is this: remember the message, or we can say the gospel. Remember the message of the gospel that you heard and received from the beginning. Now, let's stop right here for a moment, because we're living in a time of unprecedented technological advance. It's a time where technology is being used to propagate a number of different messages. And it's a time for the church where the most basic and foundational truths of Christianity are in many cases, in many ways, being disregarded as somehow too simplistic and even insufficient. And we're living in a time where there are all kinds of offerings of supposed divine revelations, new teachings, mystical interpretations, and people are loving it everywhere. But guess what begins to happen to the Church of Jesus Christ if we're not careful as we live in times like this? Well, exactly what's beginning to happen to John's readers. That's why he's addressing them in this way. They were drifting from the gospel message that saved them, and they were in grave danger of losing the most powerful realities of their Christian community and witness. That's why John combats the false teachers by being as clear as he can possibly be. He says, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, this gospel that you have heard from the beginning. What does this message tell us? He says that you should love one another. Don't let this truth, don't let this message get lost in all the other messages that you're hearing. Now, this is no small or sentimental thought that John is putting forward. Just consider what Jesus said. No doubt some of the very words that were ringing in John's ears as he penned this epistle. Notice on the screen, John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Watch this now, powerful. "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Powerful. Now think about what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. It's on the screen for you. He said this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love," listen, "I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Remarkable, remarkable. So if Jesus says that the defining mark of all true disciples is love for one another, If the Apostle Paul says that nothing you do matters in this life if you have not love for one another, if the Apostle John brings his readers back to this commandment to love one another, then we must conclude today that to love one another within the fellowship of believers is a big deal. It's no small or merely sentimental or emotional thought. And if we, loved ones, if we are going to be a compelling gospel community, we have no choice. We cannot let love get lost. We cannot let this message of the gospel, which communicates this truth to love one another, we can't let this reality get lost in our midst. We must never lose sight of love. Love for one another is what must mark the church of Jesus Christ and every community that is, in fact, a gospel compelling community is marked by this love. So here's a question for us. How are we doing at Hope Church? How are we doing? Here's a thought. What do we believe should mark our fellowship and our community? Would you think about that for a moment right now? Well, what do you think should be the mark of our church? What do you believe should be the mark of our fellowship? Should it be a big building where a lot of people come? Should that mark our church? Should people think about that when they think about our church? Should it be a lot of people gathering in one place? Should people think about that when they think about Hope Church? Oh, there's a lot of people that go to that church. What about great music? Should great music be the mark of our church? That when people come into our church and see us, should they think, man, the music's great? Do we want that to be the mark? Is it a cool pastor or a lot of programs? What do you think, loved ones, should be the mark of our church? Well, John says, this is the message, the gospel that you have heard from the beginning. This is what John says. I want you to love one another. Don't let this message get lost in the midst of all the messages that you are hearing all around you. Loved ones, is this the contribution that all of us yearn to bring into our fellowship? Love for one another. There's more coming in this message on what this love looks like, but we're going to stop right there for now. Rediscovering the necessity and power of life together, we must never lose sight of love. But secondly, this, are you ready? Are you ready? Write this down. Rediscovering the necessity and power of life together, here it is. Hatred must be immediately put off. Hatred must be immediately put off. Notice verse 12. John goes on to say this, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So let's stop right here for a moment. You'll remember the tragic incident between Cain and his brother Abel in Genesis 4. I want us to look at it briefly. It's on the screen for you. Let's read what happened. Genesis chapter 4, starting from verse 3, says this, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. So here the Apostle John is bringing up an incident that would have been very familiar to his readers in order to illustrate, listen, what love is not. He's illustrating what love is not. He says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Now, Cain and Abel both brought an offering to the Lord. Abel's offering was acceptable. Cain's offering was not acceptable. Abel did what was right in the sight of God. Cain did not do what was right in the sight of God. And even though God gave him an opportunity to make things right, Cain became jealous of his brother Abel's righteousness, and he murdered him out of hatred. Now notice John goes on in verse 13, almost saying, by the way, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Just as Cain hated Abel because of his righteousness, so the world will hate you because of your righteousness. If indeed your life is making a difference in this world, if indeed there is a clear distinction between you and the world. Look now at verses 14 to 15. He goes on to say this. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we have love for the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. And everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What's going on here? What is John saying? Well, as he's been doing throughout his entire epistle, John is making things very black and white. He wants to be very, very clear. He's making things very black and white by making two sharp contrasts in the text we just read. He's contrasting love and hatred, and he's contrasting life and death. First, love and hatred. Notice it in verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. So love is the evidence that we have passed from death into life. Now the contrast between life and death. He says everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. So love is the evidence that we've passed from death to life. So if love is the characteristic of the one who's passed from death to life, then hatred is the characteristic of the one who doesn't have eternal life. This is very important, loved ones. Listen very closely. When John says in verse 12, we should not be like Cain, he's saying this, that when we harbor bitterness or jealousy and hatred in our own hearts, he says, we might as well be committing murder. And listen, we're living in such a way that is so completely inconsistent with who God has called us to be. He says, we should not be like Cain in order to illustrate what love is not. Now, John's not making this stuff up. He's simply reiterating the teachings of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Notice it on the screen, Matthew 5, 21 to 22. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Loved ones, both John and Jesus are combating the kind of self-righteousness that often fills the church that says, as long as I'm not doing the outward act, as long as I'm not doing the outward act of murder or whatever the sin may be, then I'm okay. But both John and Jesus are saying that what we're talking about here is it's not about outward actions. It's actually about the inward state of the heart. As followers of Jesus Christ, what matters is not so much what we do on the outside, but what is the state of our hearts on the inside, compelling and moving our actions on the outside. As followers of Jesus Christ, then, John says, the evidence that our hearts have been transformed by his love and his grace is that we ourselves express love and grace to others. And he illustrates what this love and grace is not by saying, don't be like Cain, hating people in the church, jealous of your brothers and sisters, harboring bitterness and resentment in your hearts. Don't be like Cain. We ought to love one another, not hate one another, not be jealous of one another, not harbor resentment in our hearts towards one another. And so this then becomes a potentially powerful moment for you and for me and for our church right now, because God may be speaking to you right now. The Spirit of God may be speaking to you right now, because maybe, just maybe, there is an unreconciled relationship in your life. And when you think about that relationship, you have feelings of bitterness. You have feelings of resentment. You have feelings of hatred in your heart towards someone else in our church. And John is saying, if Christ lives in you, then don't be like Cain. We got to put off hatred immediately, and we got to express the love and the grace and the forgiveness that we see in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just stop right here for a moment and give you an opportunity to think about your life. Oh, how many times I've spoken to people and I hear the words, I'm so angry with that person. I feel like I hate them. Even more tragic sometimes, sitting with a husband and a wife, and between a husband and a wife is this tangible hatred. Loved ones, if we are going to be a community that is compelling to the world around us, that is filled with power, that is used by God, we must be a community that loves one another. And John is saying true love never hates people among us. Today is the day, perhaps, you're going to put away bitterness and resentment and jealousy and hatred once and for all. Maybe today is the day you are going to pick up the phone. You're going to send a text message or an email. You're going to FaceTime someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. And maybe today's the day you are going to make things right with that person who you have hated for far too long. Loved ones, we as the church ought to love one another. We shouldn't be like Cain. We should love one another, rediscovering the necessity and power of life together. The power of life together is found in loving one another, is putting off hate immediately, once and for all. Finally, there's one more thing I want you to see. Rediscovering the necessity and power of life together. Write this down. We must be a community that's more than just talk. More than just talk. We must never lose sight of love. Hatred must be immediately put off, and we must be a community that's more than just talk. Notice verse 16 now. John says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love, here it is, in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So powerful, loved ones, so powerful for the times that we are living in today, especially. Here in verse 16, the Apostle John defines love. This is so important. If we are going to be a community who loves one another, who is marked by love, we got to understand the definitions of love in the scriptures. He defines love And he defines love by pointing us to the example of Jesus Christ. And the implication is that if we understand the love of Jesus Christ, then we will be compelled to love like Jesus Christ. See, this command to love one another, it can't be about just trying harder to do better. Our obedience has to be rooted in something far greater than our ability to try harder to do better. Our obedience must be rooted in our example and the power we have in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He says, John says in verse 16, by this we know love. You want to know what love is? Here it is, that he laid down his life for us. Watch this now, so important. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So I want you to watch what John is doing here in this text. In verse 12, he says, we shouldn't be like Cain, full of hate and jealousy and murder. In verse 16, he says, we ought to be like Christ. He's contrasting two things. Cain was full of hate, but Christ is full of love. Cain selfishly took a life in murder, but Christ selflessly gave his life on the cross. Don't be like Cain. We ought to be like Christ. That's what he's saying. Goes on now in verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It's a rhetorical question. If we've experienced the love of God towards us, then we ought never close our hearts to someone else who has need. If we truly understand what Jesus Christ has done for us and his love has been expressed towards us and his love is filling us, then we ought never close our hearts to others who have need. Instead, we love one another. But this love is more than just talk. This love is not just lip service. Oh, loved ones, the world needs to see a church that's more than just talk. The world needs to see a church that's more than just lip service. The world needs a church that's more than just preaching. They need to see action. And this is what John says love really is. That we see the example of Christ's sacrificial love and we emulate that example, but not just in talk. See, it's well and easy enough for us to say, fine, we agree. We'll love each other. But what's the true test that John puts forward? Little children, he says, let us not love in word or talk, here it is, but in deed and truth. In deed and truth. In other words, genuine love is evidenced by more than just words. That is so important. And it's so important for us in the days that we are living in. Genuine love is evidenced by more than just words. It's love that takes you further than the words, I love you, all the way to the grocery store to purchase groceries for a brother or sister in need. It's love that doesn't stop at the words, I love you, but it drives itself to the bank to make a withdrawal for someone who has need. It's love that doesn't stop at the words, I love you. It gets up early in the morning to pray for a brother or sister who is sick. It takes you to the kitchen to stand in front of the stove to cook a homemade pot of soup for that one who is sick. See, we cannot just love in words and in talk. But John says the way that we know we really love, the evidence, it's tangible. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. John says that this is love. Don't be like Cain, jealous, bitter, taking. be like Jesus, forgiving, sacrificing, giving. Oh, church family, this is the community we must be. What does it mean to share a common life together in Christ? What does it mean to have all things in common? What does it mean to be together in a common mission? One thing it certainly means is that we love one another, not just with words and talk, but in deeds, in actions, in truth. Let me just say that I'm so encouraged by our church in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. I'm so encouraged because all around I see this kind of love being displayed. Yes, groceries being delivered to doorsteps, resources being shared, masks being made and delivered, gift cards being purchased and delivered. This is love. We must be a community that continues to grow in this, more than just talk, deed, and truth. I remember one of the most Spirit-led and clueless moments for me at the beginning of our church. It was Spirit-led because God always knows what He's doing, but I was clueless. It was year one. We had just planted our church. There were three of us on staff. We were in my office discussing different ways we could gather our newly planted church family for fellowship. I remember looking at our staff at the time and saying, "Why don't we gather our church for a Thanksgiving dinner?" A few seconds went by, and Kathy Latini, our administrator, said so humbly, "Why don't we do a Thanksgiving dinner for needy people in our community instead?" Now, immediately I resonated so deeply, but I didn't realize at all how that one moment would shape the heartbeat of our church from that day forward. God used that moment to begin a small spark, a deep desire in us to be the kind of church, to be the kind of people who don't exist just for ourselves. God used that moment while I was clueless, having no idea what would lie ahead. God used that moment to place us on a beautiful trajectory, a beautiful path. As a church, to be a church who existed not merely for ourselves, but to love one another so much and to be on this common mission together, to let that love for one another so spill over towards people all around us, people who are needy, people who are broken, people who are lost, people who have never heard the name of Jesus before. We wanted to reach out to broken, needy, helpless people. We wanted to be a church that truly loved in deed and truth. I often think about that moment in my office, how clueless I was, and I love God's word. I love God's sovereignty. I love God's providence. I love how He puts things in our hearts that are on His heart. And even in this moment right now, I pray that God is putting on our hearts this deep desire to be a church community that doesn't exist for ourselves, but that we love one another so deeply And that our love for each other is so deep and so profound, it spills beyond the four walls of our church and our fellowship, and it reaches to the farthest places, not just with words, but in deeds and in truth. Oh, I believe, church family, that as we grow in this love for one another, that if we never lose sight of the message of the gospel, the message that we heard from the beginning, the message that we should love one another in the midst of all the messages coming at us in this world, if we decide and resolve that we will be a people who put away hatred, who put away jealousy, who put away resentment once and for all, if we will be a people who are resolved to be more than just talkers, that God would create in our fellowship such love that strengthens us and spills over to the world around us, that the world would truly see a community that is powerful and supernatural. This love is different. This love is special. This love is divine. And I pray the world would look at Hope Church Toronto West and say, this love that they have for each other, I want it, and I need it. Oh, church family, what kind of church do we need to be? We need to be a church that loves one another. Because of Jesus Christ, loved ones, this is who we can be. Loving the broken and the needy, and those in our fellowship with deep love and deeds. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, this is who we must be. Loving people in our fellowship so sacrificially. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this with faith, this is who we will be. This is who we will be in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic and beyond. This is the church we will be. And this is the command that you love one another. Oh, how I pray that God would solidify that truth, that command, and let it take root in our hearts today. Come on and pray that with me right now, church. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you again, again, again for your word, for the power of your word, for the way it shines a light on our hearts. And we pray right now, oh God, this simple prayer, that you would help us be a church that has its eyes on you. Oh, that you would help us be a church that is firmly fixed, not on ourselves and our needs first, but on you and seeing you and seeing you on the cross and seeing what you've done for us and seeing how you gave your life for us and seeing that expression of love again for us. I pray right now that we would be a church beholding the glory of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who will now be compelled to live this way amongst our fellowship and to a lost and dying world all around us. Oh, how I pray, Lord, you would do this in us, starting today. Lord, if there is unforgiveness among us, if there is hatred or jealousy or bitterness, oh God, I pray you would compel us and move us to put it away for good right now, that we would be a community walking in purity and in love for each other, for your glory. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus. So answer this prayer, I pray, for your glory now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. If you agree with me, church, say amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.